that call to order and are there any citizen comments? Citizen comments? None? All right. I have no reports. Are there any committee reports? Bill?
Just a comment, and that is we're starting a new session with our youth and governance. I'm here to see you join us, and I think it would be nice if we all went around the table, not only identified ourselves as being county board supervisors, just a little background, if you have an occupation. You might mention that, so we all kind of have a little, familiarity. We have several groups of people. We are county board supervisors. We have administrative persons, Mr. Reed, who delivers himself as well. And then when it comes to you, if you have a grade level you're in, a school that you're in, anything you'd like to say just about your background, what you're looking forward to in your session, so go ahead and be a place to stay. Let's start off with this. I'm going to introduce yourself.
I'm Al Swartz. Excuse me, I have a call. I'm Al Swartz. I'm the budget director for the county. I've been with the county about 27 years now. If I get questions,
you really always sound that.
He's a numbers man.
He's not that quiet.
I don't know if he doesn't
know. All right.
I feel by asking about something.
All right.
I'm Bill Grady. I'm county board supervisor representing the 1st District in Kenosha, which is very easternmost. It has Hubbard Park as one of its kind of southern boundaries. Goes north to Carthage College. Been on the board for about 8 years now. And I'm also an eye doctor with a business downtown.
Hi.
Mark Bolero. I represent Town of Summers, an area in the Town of Summers on the county board. Been here, this is my 10th term. I represented a central city district for about 10 years. And nearly the last 10 that I've been out in Town of Summers representing that district. By profession, I'm an architect.
John O'Day, I live over by Tremper, represent that area. Been on the county board since 96. When I'm not doing this, I do real estate.
I'm Dave Pertson. I'm a department head for the county. It's the Department of Finance Administrative Services. It has all the finance functions, budget, payroll, IT, purchasing. So I'm department head, and I'm liaison to this committee for the administration. Welcome to this. You'll really enjoy it.
Thank you.
You got the best committee.
We think so anyway.
Yeah. Much where the money is.
That's what's on the agenda.
I'm Terry Rose. I'm a 2nd District supervisor by the lake, and I'm a lawyer.
Okay.
Ed Bickey. The vice chair, also represent the 6th District of Kenosha. It's mid to northern part of the city limits primarily. I'm in my 4th term currently. And my profession is a firefighter paramedic for the city of Highland Park, Illinois, which I've been doing for 27 years.
Okay. Ron Frederick, I'm in the 11th District, Central City, retired.
Aaron Comer, I'm the 13th district. It's the furthest west in the city, out to like Strawberry Creek by I-94, Highway 50. I'm a financial analyst. Been doing that for about 10 years, and also do some stuff with real estate, runs a property, and I sell real estate.
Okay.
I'm Bob Riedel. I'm the director of personnel services. I've been director for 10 of the 15 years I've worked here. Pretty much, if it has to do with employees, I'm in charge of. We have 1,000 FTEs. Time equivalents, and at any given time up to 1,200. We manage all the benefits, wages, salaries, do the hiring, do the firing, just about everything having to do with employees.
And they all love Bob.
Well, I'm Maddie Artak. I'm going into my junior year of high school. I go to Westosha Central, which is way out in the sticks. And yeah. Yeah, we just won state, so.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, looking forward to being a part of this. So.
Mr. Wilkie, we'd like to recognize you in the back, gentleman with the tie. Jeffrey, introduce yourself.
I'm the chairman of the county board. I represent the 3rd District.
Rick?
Rick Dodge, I'm a supervisor for the 5th District. I'm retired.
And that's a wrap, I think.
All right, very good. Thank you and welcome. And any other comments from any other members of the committee? Seeing none, the minutes are before you, and are there any additions or corrections?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passes, and that will bring us to item number 6, the CABA review and approve of the development manual for them. And why don't you go ahead and explain that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Rose. Everybody, you should have a copy of the updated manual for the CKC or Consolidated Kenosha County Revolving Loan Fund Program. As just a little bit of background, in 2011, the Department of Commerce was it ceased to exist and it became the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And last year, the WEDC actually went through an audit, and as part of that audit, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development had asked the WEDC to have all grantees update their manuals and add some specific language to it. So what we did in that, as part of that process, is I went through and made those changes, but also made some updates because that manual hasn't been updated in quite a while. So just to go through, there were a lot of changes in regards to, like, changing Department of Commerce to WEDC, changing our description of finance board to what is actually just a committee, and then I made a lot of grammatical changes, and that's the bulk of the changes. But there were 4 that I wanted to draw your attention to, which were the substantive changes within the manual. The first one is on page 4, and the item there, it's under 2.3, which is records. The first change is that in past history, the manual required that 4 files be maintained, and those included, like, an application file, a write-up file, a correspondence file, and a bunch of other compliance items. My past history, I've condensed those down just to 2 files, and I've labeled those both there. The first one is a permanent or a legal file, and the second one is a little bit further down, which is a credit file. The changes here is just the descriptive part, which says permanent or legal file. There were no changes there to 1, 2, or 3. Those are still being tracked and kept in that file. But the addition that I've included here under credit file is the correspondence file. So essentially what we're doing is we've got a legal bound copy of legal documents, title reports, and things like that, which is pretty much a permanent file. And then the credit file is where we collect all our correspondence, our compliance items, and anything that comes up on a day-to-day basis. So that was a substantive change there in the record keeping. The second item that has some significant changes, and this is one of the items that HUD asked the WEDC to have all grantees add, and that's on page 9. And it's at the bottom there, it's under 4. The first part of that paragraph, the low and moderate income benefits did not change, but A, B, C, and D were all additions to the language in the manual. A, B, and C are essentially definitions of what a low to moderate income person is, definition of what it means to make available to a low to moderate income person from a job standpoint, and also receive first consideration under hiring practices by an employer. And then the last item, that D, there is a requirement that all employers, if they receive a loan from the CKC fund, are required to maintain a certification for new hires in the organization.
This is HUD's language, you said?
Yes, this is the language that they required to actually be in the manual, which was not previously.
So all of Section 4 is new?
Except the very first paragraph of it, it says low and moderate income benefits the project shall provide. That part was already in there. Yeah. This added substantially more detail of what the requirements have to be met.
Points A through D.
A, B, C, and D are new additions to that. The next one is on the next page, item 10.
Before we move on,
sure.
Can we talk a little bit about that you know, the 51% of jobs must be available. It doesn't mean they have to be filled by.
Correct. It just has to be made available to what is defined as a low to moderate income individual.
How does that relate to, I'm trying to figure out, low to moderate income, but you, so they can qualify to be hired in that job, or, I mean?
They can be. They cannot be excluded from that. So when a company, under the requirements to make it available, if they go out to, like, the workforce development site and they post that job, that would qualify towards making it available to low to moderate income individuals. So with any jobs that come up, they just have to make 51% of those jobs available, too. It does not mean that they have to hire somebody, because they're obviously can hire whoever's qualified for that position.
Yeah, okay.
I've just never heard of it, and I don't want to belabor it, but I've just never heard of a job description. Say, you have to have a certain income level?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I don't understand it.
It's out there to promote economic development and to give those who have
low to moderate. It's fine, but I've never heard of anybody who said, well, we only will accept applications of people who held
you
jobs.
You can't ask the question.
Yeah. You can't.
So how would you?
I don't understand.
Well, interesting, the bottom there, item D, or subparagraph D there, says that every applicant has to complete the self-certification form. So that's something that would be sent to the state as verification purposes. Mm-hmm. It would only be for those jobs that would be made available as part of the package that they're getting. So if they're saying they're going to create 10, theoretically 5.1 of those jobs should be made available to low to moderate income. When people come in and do their interview, they would do a certification page and then send that to the state.
How does that relate to ability to do the job?
I'm sorry?
Not at all.
On the next page, on page 10, and this was, I think, originally maybe a typo within the manual, but in the, about the middle of the page under terms and conditions where it says loan size, the original amount there said 750, but the actual contract with the county says 740. So I have updated this. It's only a difference of $10,000, but I wanted it to be consistent to make sure that there was no difference between what the contract says and what this manual says. And then the last item is on page 16, and it's at the very bottom of the page. It's item 9, and this was, again, language that HUD required WEDC to have all grantees add to the manual. And what this is certifying that a borrower does not have an immediate intention to pirate jobs from one labor market area to another. In my review of the Federal Register and the requirements under this, I don't think that Kenosha applies, because the Kenosha County is part of the Chicago Metropolitan Statistical Area. And so under that category, we are well below the threshold, and we would not be moving jobs from like Northern Illinois or Wisconsin, because we're in the same labor market area. Those were the substantive changes. And like I said, I made some other grammatical changes. Changes like Department of Commerce to WEDC and a couple other things. But I would be happy to answer any questions anybody might have in regards to me.
I have a question. That's on page 10 of the word for terms and conditions. You got the loan size. State, you got the standard terms. When you're saying standard terms here, and you're saying equipment 10 years, holding lands 20 years, working capital 7 years, you're talking about the terms of the amortizations, all right?
The note, yeah.
So my question is it going to be one note over that, or is there shorter notes that are renewed as, so for example, 20 years, buildings and land. Okay. Is it going to be a 20-year note, unless it's going to be done and finalized, or is it going to be a 5-year note, then you renegotiate, 5 years, renegotiate?
What CAVA typically has done in the past, I'd say 99.9% of the time, is we would establish a 20-year note with a 20-year amort, but we might change the interest rate at various intervals. So the borrower is going to get a 20-year note, 20-year term. First 5 years of that 20-year term might be fixed. Next five might have an interest rate at prime plus the next after that. Mm-hmm. So it is a 20-year term with a 20-year amort.
So this is just the framework. There are other variables for that.
Yeah, and that's not to say that we would always go to the max. It would depend upon the credit write-up that we do with the borrower. If the borrower looked like it was a more risky proposition, we might shorten that term to make sure that we adjust for that risk.
That's my question. Thank you.
All right. Anything further on this? And you're asking us to approve of this? Is that what you're...
Yep. And then my follow-up with my question would be is I'm not quite sure what the next process would be. I'm assuming it would have to go to the full board approval.
Okay. What,
motion to approve.
We would need to draft the resolution document.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to accept the changes and have staff bring a resolution back to the committee to go to the county board.
Does that work? Can we bring it back in July? Or
sure.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Further discussion then. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Can
we pull our governments, please?
Thank you. And how do you vote?
Yeah.
Aye. You don't have to vote.
What's the
yes,
protocol? But... Should we basically have our vote as a committee and then have youth and governance towards the end? Is that the first way?
That's the way we've done it, but whatever the committee
and
likes.
The rationale for that, Maddie, is we don't want you to feel like you're necessarily under the gun, like we're going to call for a roll call vote and then you're right there in the spotlight. So
no,
we'll have
that
your
was just fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So we'll have youth and governance following the committee's vote.
Maybe we could just all vote, and if we don't already know, we know it's just concurred.
Right. Or you can vote with the committee. I mean, that's the other ask.
You can always ask
that
questions, too.
That would be
too.
Fine, too.
What would you feel better about?
Voting with the committee.
All right, well, unless there's objections, we'll respect that.
Fine.
All right, let's move on to number 7, the Division of Children and Family Services. Budget.
Thank you. Well, good evening. I'm happy to be here.
Perhaps I did miss it with Dick, but for the benefit of our new person, why don't you identify yourself?
Sure.
What your title is.
Sure. I'm Ron Rogers. I'm the director of the Division of Children and Family Services, which is in the Department of Human Services for Kenosha County. I've been with the county about 12 and a half, 13 years, starting November of 2000. I've been the director for about 5 of those. We're the division that investigates child abuse and neglect, works with families where abuse has occurred, and we also work heavily with delinquent youth and their families, but we also have another arm that works to prevent child abuse and just improve parenting with families, and we also work with disabled children and their families. So that's sort of the group that we work with. Okay. Good, and welcome. So I'm happy to be here this evening. The Division of Children and Family Services, through our Prevention Services Network, applied for a 3-year grant worth approximately $400,000 to improve the lives of African-American families and children. Specifically, it was a grant through a funding source we have never used. This division never received this before, through the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health from the Wisconsin Partnership Program. This funding was really specifically for this population, and it was really to improve, under the guise of improving healthy children, and there are birth outcomes in the African-American population that don't do as well as the general population at large. And we proposed a program that really has 2 parts. It has an in-home parenting program, which will be run by Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, which families will be referred to. This will involve hiring one FTE by that agency to do an in-home parenting program, where there are 2 different curriculums that will be used with the parents, so that all the parenting will be done in the client's home. And then as families successfully graduate from that, they can be referred back to our Prevention Services Network and receive case management support through Prevention Services for a number of months to, if there are any other issues the family has, struggles in managing a household or managing their home, that they can work with that family to develop a plan to solve those problems. We have an academic partner in this grant, and that's Dr. David Riley, a professor for the School of Human Ecology at the University of Wisconsin, and he will be our partner in this grant for the next 3 years. And we're very excited about it. There were this the Wisconsin, I'm still not used to saying their name, the Wisconsin Partnership Program awarded a number of smaller grants, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, but they only awarded three or four total $400,000 grants. We were very happy to get one of those. And it's also unusual, they were very confident in our application, and they said, view this as a three-year grant, about $125,000 a year, a little over that, for the next 3 years. Where most grants, they approach you as you get a grant for 1 year and you're renewing it for the next year. You certainly could lose it year by year, but they feel very confident in our proposal, and they said you should view this as a three-year grant to run this program. So I'm asking for the, you know, the community's support on this, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
John. Now, where does the money come from for the partnership? Do you have an idea?
The University of Wisconsin School of Medicine Public Health Wisconsin Partnership Program, and I am not sure. I think they have a couple of funding sources. Dr. Riley thought that some of the funding for this grant is through some form of a health insurance settlement, so I don't know if it's a blend of state tax dollars and that. But they're the ones releasing this.
And looking on the budget form here, look, are we going to get all the money in 1 year?
I judge so much.
No, it'll be released yearly over 3 years. The grant was $400,000 total, where our part of that is $379,900. Dr. Riley will be getting $20,100 over the next 3 years. And we're hoping for a target start date if it passes the county board with it, to hopefully get the doors open as of July 1st.
Yes.
So if you're looking at approximately $125,000 a year, just ballpark.
Yes.
What type of family contacts, in terms of numbers of contacts, are you estimating you can supply through this grant? Do you have a handle on that?
Yeah, it was in the grant. Families could will be seeing in the in-home parenting program. They could be seen initially 2 to 3 times a week, and then as success is going on in that program, that would taper back over time. And then as they are referred to the case management portion, normally with that there's an assessment piece where you work with the family to develop a treatment plan. So there's often more frequent contacts in the first few weeks of that. That could go on for another month. That could be twice a week for the next month to 2 months. And then that often can taper off to once a week, once every other week as you're having success.
So it's multiple contacts with the same family. But how many families could potentially benefit from this type of thing?
I believe the estimate right now is, I think is, I can look at the grant specifically, but I think it's between 40 and 50 in a year. Yeah.
Thank you. That's my question.
Yeah.
Ron?
You said there was three grants. What other counties got them?
Oh, I didn't bring that material here.
Okay,
I don't have that.
Because, you know, like if Milwaukee got them, they had to get more than $379,000, wouldn't they?
Well, the grant, the large amounts of these grants, what I was told by at the meeting we went to is it was four $400,000 grants. So we received one of the four.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah. So I was,
well, it doesn't matter. I'm just curious. Well, yeah. I got them, that's all.
No. I'm sorry, I don't have that.
Was it like in areas that had a heavy African American population? Is that it? Or?
Yeah, well, it was that in the.
Give it to Grant.
Kenosha is in this Life Course Initiative where statistically we've looked at how our birth rates and the population as a whole versus the African American population, and key indicators like low birth weight. Higher infant mortality and other outcomes as far as immunization rates, things like that for infants. And so in our community, compared to the population, I believe the African American population in Kenosha is about 7%. And yet some problem areas like higher incidence of infant mortality, it's at a higher percentage in the African American population than it should be if you look at their population as a whole in the county. And so we are one of the areas in the state that was able to apply for this because of that.
Okay. Anyone else? Mark?
I've talked about pushing for understanding over these multi-year grants how we do year year to year, and this talks here about healthy families can also follow the Healthy Families America model, an evidence-based home visitation model. And we've gone back to or heard much about this evidence-based approach when it comes to creating the additional courts that we've created, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I have gotten more and more vocal about wanting to see that evidence year over year as we continue to renew grants. So I'm going to push for that again.
Okay.
And it's I guess it's starting to hit home a little bit because I'm getting more and more emails that said the chairman of the committee wanted me to send this to you. Well, I don't want it to just be to me.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm asking about it, and it's important. But and this, I recognize this is a new grant. But I fully expect that in year two, when this is before us again, that the presentation is going to include that information. And quite honestly, we have seen a couple of matrices and spreadsheets on our desks from Chairman Holman, and it is not hitting the questions that I'm asking for. A simple report about we got this grant again isn't what I'm asking about. It is understanding that it makes sense that we accept that grant again, mm-hmm. because in fact the evidence supports the argument for it.
Right.
We are making progress. What are those numbers specifically? In particular, when you renew year over year, as we do with many of the grants that we have in Kenosha County, or that we're involved in through your organization and globally through Human Services, I know that information is part of your application, right? You send that evidence in to support the next year's,
right?
So it's there and it's available. There isn't any reason that it can't be presented succinctly and effectively to the committee, and that's what I'm asking for.
Okay. So I'd be happy to come back before you in about 12 months and let
nice.
You get a picture of the first, you know, after we get the doors open and running, what our results are.
It's absolutely critical that the follow-through is actually there. I know I'm talking to you now because you're here, and I appreciate
yes.
that, but it is. My point is I don't think that the, we've heard oftentimes they'll be back, and I'm not so sure that they're always back. And it
okay.
is incumbent upon this committee and the county board as a whole to make sure that that information is there.
Okay.
Budgets aren't getting any easier, we all know.
No.
And just, not to belabor this point, but I was at the CABA Chamber Scholarship Golf outing last week, Monday, Thursday, whatever day it was. Megan Jacket, I think is how you say her name, she was a youth and governance member. Now a freshman, just finished her freshman year at St. Olaf, was a recipient of that scholarship, gave a presentation that evening. As she has done before, she was an exceptional speaker,
mm-hmm.
talked about some amazing things that she's doing. Back home for the summer, working through UW Extension as an intern, applying some of what she's done, study abroad. She's, again, I think she's an incredible gal, and thankful she's back in Kenosha trying to do what she's doing. She started to do a process of reviewing a number of social services organizations in Kenosha County, and finally stopped at 40 various organizations that she contacted, whether they be through the county and our job center and all the programs we supply there, for-profits, not-for-profits, private, not-private. And my point is, I'm a believer that you just simply can't expect you don't have some inefficiencies, overlap in services and expenditures of dollars that could be minimized with a focus to reduce that number from 40 to something that is a little bit more, that doesn't see as much of the overlap in service. I have to believe it's there. And I talked to her at length afterwards, and some of the information she picked up just as a kid first year in college was quite amazing. I will tell you that she said consistently, if the county administers it, it is the best program out there. But that doesn't mean that there isn't some synergies that one would expect if you've got 40 outlets for people who are in need to be going to, that you couldn't find some way to streamline that and hopefully save some costs somewhere. Will that ever come to be? I have no idea. But grant after grant after grant gets to the point where you wonder how the heck you're ever going to stem the flow of that those dollars. So I appreciate the feedback.
Okay.
Further discussion? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye opposed. And that passes and we'll circulate like that. And thank you, Ron.
Thank you very much.
And the next item on the agenda is the, again, Human Services Reporter Report. And Lori, you want to introduce yourself for our new members?
I am Lori Stage. I am the CFO of the Human Services Department. We are probably one of the largest department in the county expenditure-wise, but only about 17% of the levy. So we have aging and disability services. You just heard from Children and Family Services. We have health, workforce development. We have the county nursing home, Brookside. We also have veterans, just the veterans, and we have the medical staff. So we're all encompassing, we are all okay except the nursing home and then at the job center on South Sheridan Road. So we're all under the one-stop job. I am before you for the first quarter of this year, and this report should look similar to the previous years. And I completed the March 31st, and again, this column is annualized based upon our actuals through the first quarter, through March 31st. So for aging and disability services, it is showing an additional possible need for levy of $274,000. This is the summary page, but below it, on pages 2 and 3, show where the increases are for them. But page 2 shows the state institutes, hospital and inpatient services. So their biggest increase is right there, total inpatient services. If I can remind the committee, at the end of last year, our spike was in hospitals and institutes, and that kind of continued through the first quarter of this year. We are addressing those in the second quarter, and we hope to see that that number of admissions go down. We did have some savings in our residential, and it's truly because of our days of care is going down, and our costs are, we're showing some savings on the cost per day. Pharmacy, slight increase, about $51,000. So for the mental health, this page particularly is just mental health and Aota services. Page 3 shows our admissions for our state institutes, hospitals, and our care center, and then our average length of stay for those three facilities. I have to apologize because you received the copy. This graph should be on this side, and this graph should be on this side. So I will be emailing you a revised version tomorrow. So for the state institutes, for example, we're using the graph that's under the heading of hospitals. And so the average length of stay is for all three of those facilities in the colored graph on the bottom right. Back to the summary for Brookside Care Center, we included their pages on detail on page 4 and 5. That through March 31st, they are showing a surplus of about $400,000. Page 4 has the detail in each of the areas for revenue. We were up for resident revenue in a very light green line. Our target should be 75%. We are 1% over, or almost $150,000 over revenue.
Where is that?
It's the light green, the resident revenue, where it says up on top, where our target should be 25, but it's 26%. So we're over about $150,000 more revenue than we budgeted for the first quarter.
Where did you show the $400,000? You started out by saying you're $400,000.
Oh, more. Down in the yellow. The yellow on column 2.
433.
It's about 4. It's 433, it says. Page 5 shows the detail of our census information. So for Medicare, for example, we had budgeted 33 on average. The first quarter we ran 41.1. And remember, Medicare is the one that pays for all of our costs plus. We have an average of about $500 per day that we receive for a Medicare resident, and our costs are about $265 per day. So it does help to take care of our loss for our Medicaid population, which our Medicaid, we had budgeted 88, we were at 79.5. Remember, we lose about $120 or so per day for that one. In private pay, we had budgeted 30 and we're on average of 28, and that's a break-even census cost. So we are at 98.4% occupancy, so we're doing quite well. And then the graph down below shows just since 08, our increases in our census information. For children and family services, we are showing savings for the first quarter annualized for the year. If that keeps up, we hope. For children and family services, it's about $200,000. Health had some slight savings with lab testing services that we switched over, a new vendor and a new way to do things. So we have some savings there. Pages 8 and 9 take our autopsies, our medicals. So page 8 shows in detail the death statistics from 2011, 2012 actuals, and so far for 2013 in the first quarter, which you can see we ended last year at 166. And we have approximately 42 the first quarter. So if somehow I can estimate and straight line death, we should be approximately the same autopsies as we did in 2012 at the end of the year. We had budgeted 120 in this year. We had 106 budgeted last year. When we did our budget for 2013, this time last year in September, we were running that, and we had that spike the last quarter for autopsies. So in 2014, our plan is to present an increased number in our that line item associated with the increase that we're seeing both in 2012 and 2013. Page 9 shows the breakdown on the manner of death for 10, 11, and 12 actuals. And then for 2013, it's just showing the first quarter. And we've broken apart on the bottom the accidental death detail because that is where we're seeing our spike. And it's from the drug overdoses that we're seeing. And so it's the red column on the accidental death detail on the bottom is the drug overdose.
But you're down. For this year?
Well, this is just the first quarter. These were actuals.
Yeah. I know, but if I did the first quarter.
If you proposed, yes, we would be down.
Right. But you reference a spike. You're talking about from 2012.
Oh, yes. Well, you can see that from 2011 to 2012.
Just making sure that I was reading it correctly.
Yes.
Because I noticed when I looked at this at home that if that's the number, the drug overdose issue seems to be much better so far this year than it has been in any one of the last 3 years. I understand that. I mean, I point it out because let's hope that's the trend.
Yes. We have about 12 that are pending and undetermined at this point, but I can't say that it's going to be in that category. So.
Is that you want to mention to have that number pending?
Yeah, we're waiting. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks, possibly. Toxicity reports to come back from the labs and things.
But it's not uncommon to have that many pending.
No. But by the time I present year end, we pretty much have everything done, like March and April of the next year.
So those 12 might be pending the cause, but they certainly are already in the 42 count of number of autopsies.
Yes, they are.
Good.
Just want to mention about the cost. And how long it's been the same or whatever.
Yeah, we went in 2011. We went to Milwaukee County and having them do our autopsies. And they gave us an all-inclusive price of $1,200. So that includes the doctor fee for the actual autopsy and the lab, any kind of lab services, any kind of supplies they use and things like that for the autopsy. That was $1,200. They kept that for us for 2012 and for 2013, and I just got an email today. They're going to keep it for 2014. So we're happy with that.
That's a large amount.
Do we transport or how does that work?
We transport. So if we add all that up, we should have approximately a $300,000 savings based on first quarter.
All right, further discussion?
Yes. You briefly mentioned the Department of Health somewhere in your presentation. I don't know if this is something you can look into, but I've gotten to the end of my rope with asking the question. This goes back well over a year ago when they came forward with a revision to the fee schedule for inspections and permits, et cetera. And the questions I asked at that time had to do with how the revised schedule was determined, if they looked at our costs, actual costs for personnel and administration of inspections and application reviews, et cetera. That was all going to be looked at and gotten back to me by budget time. Nothing came back at budget time, and here we are now nearly a year plus later. And I know there was a computer system upgrade that took place over there using some different system over there at this point. That's what I was told by Mark.
There's actually a few going on.
So, I mean, at some point in time, either tell me not interested in doing anything for you. And then I can at least move on. Some point in time, something.
No, I remember it came up at budget time because we were proposing the new fee schedule. I will look into it. I thought it needed to come back. So, okay.
But I've asked several times, Mr. Hallman.
Now you've asked me.
And I spoke with Mark not too long ago.
Okay. I will ask Mr. James. Not a problem.
Thank you.
All right, further discussion?
I will probably be back second quarter, August. I think you have a meeting August 15th. And then we kind of do a slight third quarter during budget hearing. So
we'll receive the phone.
Second. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lord.
Yeah, you're really, that's not really an action item. You're just really acknowledging that it was here.
There we go.
We pass it along.
That we listened.
Very good. Now we have the sheriff's resolution on the Justice Assistance Grant, annual grant. And
Committee Chairman and Committee, Maddie, I'm Nancy Otis, the budget manager for the Sheriff's Department. Department is in charge of law enforcement, and we also run a jail. A large department, but we, unlike Health and Human Services, probably the largest portion of the tax dollars that goes on here.
80%.
What I have tonight is a resolution to avoid tax dollars. grant from the federal government for $12,938. We're sharing this with
somebody's
the city.
Tax dollars.
Total award to Kenosha is $32,346 with an agreement of a 60-40 split. Our share is $12,938. This is a formula grant offered by the federal government to the Bureau of Justice Assistance based on type 1 and type 2 crimes and some statistical and calculations they do to offer this appropriation to the county. In your packet, you'll see what appropriations were done with other counties in the state of Wisconsin. Included that in there. For this year, we're going to spend the money. The plan is to spend the money on 15 tasers and some other supplies that go with the taser device. Mm-hmm. We want to increase our inventory of tasers so that we have enough for each officer instead of having them turn them in at the end of shift because there isn't enough to go around for each of them to have their own. So we're working on increasing the inventory for that. You might have gotten today a document from me through the Secretary of the Committee showing some prior history of this particular ward. It's probably been 20 years that this comes around that I'm aware of. And what you have there is 2012, 2011, and 2010, the awards that we presented with resolutions and spending that we did under those years. So we're looking for your approval for recognizing the revenue and expense for this program. At this point, it's in the application process. We'll probably get awarded the funds later in the fall, and that's when the spending will take place.
More discussion?
Motion approved.
Second. Second. Brian, you second?
Yep.
All right. Further discussion?
All these are used for purchase of tasers. Is that the...
Just this round for this year, this $12,000, we decided to appropriate, you know, to use all of it for the inventory.
That's what I'm thinking.
$831.
Hey. About
tasers don't knock you. We probably have about 26 already. We started in 2009 with 20 of them from the similar grant to start the program, and four or five through other this grant and the drug unit to grant to provide for that year.
Terry, I do have a technical question.
Thank you.
Do they get training on these tasers before they start using them? Do they get tasered?
That I don't know.
Are you volunteering?
Chuck? No, I want to know if Chuck did.
No, that is not mandatory. If they choose to get tasered, that's up to them. We don't mandate.
This is going to feel good.
We feel that that's a personal choice. We don't like 45 or weapons. We don't.
That's probably good for the liability.
Yeah.
Well,
we're doing some on the staff on the road a lot.
Yeah.
But is it not? Most choose to get tasers because they want to feel the effect. That's 50,000 rounds of 50,000 volts of electricity. That's your system. It'll put you down in a heartbeat.
John? Yeah.
How do you get away from like a lawsuit if somebody says, why didn't you use a taser instead of a gun?
Well, actually, a taser...
You killed him and you could have tasered him.
Well, the taser is part of the force continuum that training standards was developed in Wisconsin, the Department of Training Standards and Training. And there's several options that officers are given, and that's they carry them under the belt. There's all the way from verbalizing, trying to bring the subject down, talking them down. We have OC spray, oleocapsicum, which is just pepper spray. The next step up is you go to tasering, which is less than lethal, and then you're deadly force. You always want to try to do anything you can do before you get to deadly force. And it's a matter of protecting not only the individual from getting shot, but it's also a matter of protecting the officer so they don't have to get the lungs close quarter. All the officers in the department have been trained in the taser usage already. And because they all are carrying, it's just going to be exchanging them all the time. And this attempt, like Nancy was saying, was to try to get each one their own so we don't have to move around. And they don't last forever. You have to find new ones.
Yep. The guy's got a gun, you sure?
Thanks.
Anything further? Nope. All right, seeing none, there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Weapons, yep. Police, and sheriff.
All right, then we'll move on to item number 10. Just as a reminder, I know it's one of the resolutions, be sure to put your vote on the resolution. I know it's one that from one of the ladies didn't have a vote. Just a reminder.
Today we got it.
All right, everybody have the resolution. This is an annual budget resolution that started in 2004. Perhaps you received also a note or a letter by email from Joe Clark regarding that. And
it's a place somewhere.
That's right.
Yes.
This is the same one that was in the packet.
Yeah.
The language not to exceed 2% was language that I had placed in the budget in the resolution after a discussion that I had with the county executive. Last year, as you recall, it was zero, and at least my thinking on it was to there were going to be some expenses this year that we would have to consider or should consider that were new. One of them was the the health care costs under the new Health Care Act. The discussion I had with the county executive was $450,000, and I see Dave has $600,000, but somewhere between four and six is the number. Of course, these are not, you know, definite items on this list. Everybody has this list?
There's a summary for you in this.
I see.
This list.
Okay. But there are a number of other things that we may want to consider, some kind of increase for employees' wages. These are all possibilities. I'm not trying to get into a discussion of should they or shouldn't you at this point, but I'm just explaining the reason for the not to exceed 2% language as opposed to merely mirroring last year's resolution or some other option. So that was generally my thinking on the not to exceed 2%. Discussion from anybody?
Got no problem,
Ron.
I got no problem.
I don't either.
Neither do I.
Bill?
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I'm going to say, seeing that in the past county budget, we had a 0% levy increase. And if I understand the proposition put before us here, you're saying that due to concerns about federal mandated health care changes, that is the impetus for the tuition recommendation.
That's one of the big ones.
What else figures into it?
I think Lori mentioned one this evening, the possible more autopsies. Do you want to consider any kind of wage increase for employees? That hasn't occurred for...
It's been a couple of years.
2 years, 3 years?
Three.
Could we maybe
3 years?
Al Gore, if I could, maybe.
You know, that's another that's another item. At what figure? I'm not going to offer any figure here, but it's something that would might be considered.
When we talk about the health care changes that could conceivably come down as a mandated form, is that something that would affect us in budgetary
That's what the county executive told me, that these were items that had to be introduced in the 14 budget, and I think it doesn't go into effect until 2015, correct?
Or no, incorrect. It would go into effect
2014? Okay. For some reason, I thought it was 15, but... Okay, so the 2014 budget would include some impact here, and that's where the county executive told me $450,000. Dave says somewhere between four and six. So,
as I can see,
we're at a substantial increase there.
I can see a certain rationale, not that I say I'm supportive of a person, but I can see a certain rationale where people would say, representatives of the city of the county would be surprised, might say, well, we have a zero net effect last year for our budget in terms of levy increase. We can do that again. And so I want to hear all the different thought items and components of that.
Well, the resolution as drafted does not rule out the possibility of less than 2%. It says not to exceed. Perhaps you got an email, as I did, from Supervisor Bruning. She said she was in favor of 1.8, I think it was, and gave a little rationale. So, I mean, if you were in favor or are in favor of 0% or something like that, this certainly allows it. Yes.
Well, what we're giving the county executive, we're saying, please don't come in with anything over 2%. So obviously he's going to adopt a budget, I would imagine, close to that. And then if we don't like it, then it's up to the board to, if we want to cut it or we see things that we think he put in there that we don't like, we can take them out. but at least we're giving them a little bit of leeway, because like you said, the employees haven't had a raise in 3 years. Last year we took their health away. What more can you take away from them? I mean, that's the way I see it. So I don't know how we possibly could come in at zero with some of the increases in health insurance. So, but again, we can decide after we get his budget what we want to do as Finance Committee to recommend to the board. So, I think it's reasonable.
I think we need to have Al go through the forecast that he's got here, which I mean, this is where we ought to be starting before we get into a whole lot of discussion. This is the rationalization for what's before us. I am generally aware of it because I've had discussions with the county executive about where this, where he'd like to see it go. I understand he's talked to the chairman of the committee. But this is a little bit more information than I've seen to date, so if we could go through this, I think it would be helpful.
The forecast, and just understand, I think it's been mentioned that not every place we have to do or don't have to do it. There's still choices to be made. But as we see it today, Lori mentioned the autopsies, the result of the state budget is going to have some possible cuts to the transportation aids and the court support grants. So we know that's going to have a minor impact. We're going to have $100,000. The impact of the medical examiner. We know placements is running a little higher than they already, and we're going to have to add additional dollars in there. I have a $950,000 impact for health insurance, of which a big portion of that is a result of the Affordable Care Act. Okay. Not all of it. Some of it is just the normal growth in health insurance. So my projection is a little different than when you just talk about the impact of the Affordable Care Act. But you can do things to mitigate that. Joint services, we're going to have an increase. This is the year, the phase in of the IGA. And given the fact that we have the phase in is over, we're going to the formula. Joint Services always uses reserves in their budget, and someday they're not going to have those reserves. I don't know if it'll be this year or the next year, but at some point every year they use reserves. Hopefully they'll continue to have them. We're still anticipating that we may have to pay Joint Services or the county may have to pay for their software in some way next year, and they'll get that implemented. If we're going to continue to reduce our reliance on federal inmates, we may want to look at further reducing that down. We reduced it in the 2013 budget to 200. And we could keep it at 200. We could raise it, but that's we talked about getting off our reliance there. That's why that item's on there. Step increases for non-reps and represented employees. Those were included in the policy that was adopted by the board last year as part of the budget the last 2 years, that we continue on with the steps. I have a modest amount in there for general increase for employees. We have to negotiate a contract yet with the deputies and the non-reps over at the Sheriff's Department.
Do you have inmates in here twice?
Yeah, I think I have inmates in here twice.
Mm-hmm. Move to approve.
Okay.
general increase for your utilities.
So that comes out. So your calculation is it?
Yeah,
is off by half.
Yeah, it's going to be off by $500,000. But and then I have some anticipated revenue increases based on some things. And some, I think I have $1.5 million income maintenance that we all knew we were losing from the state. As you go down on the plus side, it looks like we'll be able to increase, you know, sales tax, register of deeds, indirect cost revenue. We'll probably have some staff reductions in order to make it. And then we were able to offset some of our income maintenance loss with $750 from the state and general purpose revenue. We're also looking at reductions in human services to help offset some of that $1.5 million loss of income maintenance.
Reduction in human services, how?
Staff? It's going to be their choice, whether it's placement or what areas, but they feel that they can make reductions in order to offset that $1.5 million in income maintenance loss. That we're going to have an increase in debt service of only about $60,000. But the net effect here is that if we're allowed to increase the levy by, and it should say 1.99 instead of 2%, it would be minimal increase of $1.1 million. And then if I take that $500,000 mistake out there, our increase in revenue or decreases in expenses would be $1.9 million that we would have to cut based on this forecast. So it would be any combination of increased revenue or decreases in expense. And I just want to go through this bottom because this bottom little section refers to my narrative where I say if you have a levy of 1.99% and we have new construction growth of 0.75%, you would have an increase to the homeowner of about 1.24. And then if you look at it adjusted for inflation, and the sheets in here are the labor statistics on inflation, and it's 2.1 for the last calendar year. And if you did that, the property owner would have a 80.86% reduction in the taxes on an inflation piece. If you take inflation. But that runs through the scenario. It gives you some of the ideas of some of the expenses and increases in revenue that we're facing as we go forward. Trying to do a budget at less than 2%.
So the $300,000 in personnel staffing reductions, how does that compare to what we did in 2013?
I don't recall, but that's somewhere where we've been pretty standard the last consistent. Couple of years in that ballpark.
So staffing reductions, that's inclusive of vacancies?
It's all inclusive of vacancy because I've been trying to reduce that vacancy adjustment down as we, tightened up the hiring process. We've had to reduce that vacancy. We weren't making our vacancy adjustment. If we don't continue to move that down as we ratchet things down, it'll be very difficult for us to operate.
So this does assume some capital expenditures in the CIP?
No, it does not include the CIP. The CIP is all bonded for the most part, so it doesn't assume using levy to fund any capital expenditures.
But my question is, it does assume debt service.
It does assume
relative to any increases in our CIP for 2014.
For 14, it includes a debt service for 14.
So do we have something for the joint services?
No. Because anything that we did would either be paid for out of that $500,000 for joint services if there were a debt service payment this year, or anything we bond for in 14 would be paid for in 15.
Paid for 15. What's the status of that? Do we have an update on that?
Well, there's no change from the beginning. I mean, there's a proposal, but
we got to be getting closer.
But I talked with the director there about a week ago, and I think he's going to make a presentation to the committee sometime around budget time. But
I got a comment from someone else.
Bill?
On your CPI, are you including the energy and food prices in there? CPI just better.
It's a Bureau of Labor Statistics.
I'm trying to remember. I think the CPIU has that in there. I think it does. Yeah, I think the CPIU. Does CPIU include food and energy?
The genius has to go to the answer, man.
Your secretary did that or what?
Well, this says it does, so.
You think the NSA is listening to this meeting?
Okay.
I don't know why they'd want to listen to me. There's not much to get too excited about, pretty boring.
Maybe that's a nice trick, but what? I try that in court sometimes.
Is that thing on?
It's not. It's just a googling of it. It's not recording, but we are recording up here.
No, when you were really talking to somebody.
Yeah, well, I was talking just to the.
You weren't talking to yourself.
So. No,
my God.
You never know about that.
All right.
Okay, anyway. Chair, certainly this is the information that's critical to understanding how you get to what is our advisory resolution. I thought it would be important that be presented because we can talk about numbers all over the board. But if my position on it is it's none of them mean anything without some rationale for why we're establishing what we're establishing. And that's not to say we have to agree with all the assumptions in here. I have, I've heard that there's been some statements made that that certain members won't support a zero, certain members will or won't support another number. And based on certain factors and rationale, one of them being that the employees need to be compensated somehow or recognized somehow, I've said that now for a while. I said that in the meeting with you and the executive here several months back, that I believe it's certainly overdue that we look to do something with employee salaries. I'd support that all day long, and we'll continue to support it. We'll not necessarily support a budget that doesn't address the employees in some positive way, but that doesn't mean we still can't be at zero.
So, under this resolution, it's
sure, or for that matter, under anything else. So I'm supportive of what's before us because it comes to us with some thoughts, some rationale, recognizing that we still have some bogeys with the state, the oxymoron of the Affordable Health Care Act. And I say oxymoron because you're talking about $1 million. I don't know who that's affordable for, but apparently $1 million is affordable for somebody. You know, I'm going to stress again, and I'll mention it because there is at least one representative from the Sheriff's Department here. I asked last year, I'll ask again this year when you come forward, to understand as much as possible. I realize this is all crystal ball type stuff, but, you know, what is the long-term plan for housing of inmates? It's not getting any easier. We still haven't gotten an increase, as I understand it, for costs associated with our incarceration of the federal inmates. I don't know where things sit right now, and maybe at some point we can get a better feel for that, where the requirement to upgrade to the 10-year-old standards or whatever the heck they're asking us to do now. I mean, that's all an impact. And at some point in time, we have to make a decision whether it's fiscally feasible for us to continue to be in it and understand, you know, maybe in the next 3 to 5 years, what we anticipate where we're going with that. And I'll ask for it again this year. That all factors into what we do year to year, but also then we have to be able to forecast and look at our budgets beyond just the year that's before us. So I'll continue to ask for that as we get into get closer to budget time. I'm supportive of what's before us today. I will certainly push to do what we can do to keep it as low as we can, but I don't think it's going to be the right approach an approach that's going to allow us to come in certainly at a zero or anything that's going to be below one. That'll be proven out as we go forward. I think the executive will certainly get the message after tonight if we pass this, but I think he's got the understanding and he got the message right now, and he's willing to do what he can and work with us to get to it.
And
if there's no more discussion based on what Mr. Schwartz has brought before us here and the Affordable Health Care Act understanding, I'm willing to make a motion to pass this resolution as it sits before us tonight.
Sir.
Further,
just kind of echo some of Mark's comments. Now, remind us, how much of the budget is the Sheriff's Department percentage-wise of the county budget?
It's not quite half of the levy.
Okay. It's the biggest chunk of the levy.
24.7. That would make her over. The total budget is 58 million, so what is your levy?
52%.
57%.
Yeah,
that's
the biggest
chunk. It's the biggest portion. It's near 50%.
Federal inmate money is around 5 million plus?
No, it's more than that.
More?
6 million.
6 million?
Federal inmate money.
This year was 5.5 or something.
5.5?
At the end of the year, or short of that.
Aaron?
Yeah, I was just going to echo some of the comments everybody else made. I read Joe's email, and I think that's where we're at. I mean, this year's a different year to me than last year. I mean, I would love to see a zero, but the Affordable Health Care Act, like Mark mentioned, is just, it's a big question mark out there. And it's tough to pin a number down right now anyway, so this time of year we don't know, especially with the budget in Madison still being finalized. But even if we were to zero out everything else, you look at $1 million, that's basically 2% for the Affordable Health Care Act. So I just think we're in a position like any other business this year that's looking at huge inflationary costs. And it's not to say that we couldn't come down to zero if the costs are better, but I'm fine with this as well.
I'd just like to say that last year I was not doing anything at all and let him come up with his budget, but nobody else wanted to do it, so I'll buy it. Okay, but I still think, let him bring in his budget and we'll do what we can with it. But this is what the majority wants to do, so fine.
Further discussion?
Well, you know, and I think certainly there isn't anyone in this room who hasn't sensed my frustration recently, and good, bad, or indifferent, I guess, on how I present that. It is what it is. But we can't make the comments that we make, in particular in this committee, about how important it is to hold in line, how our hands are tied here, our hands are tied there, and then every request for funding that comes through the county board, we approve. I get that it's grant money, but doggone it, it's coming from somebody's pocket. And we are all in Kenosha County, that's somebody. So we have to begin to pay attention to what we're spending our dollars on and where the monies are coming from. And to have, you know, to ask for the information that I asked for, or any of us asked for, or the accountability, you know, it's still frosts me to no end that the response that I got from the sheriff on the makeup of that $20,000 difference on that mobile commanding unit was that he would write the check himself. For that to come from anyone in any position similar to his in Kenosha County was simply unacceptable. It's not a ridiculous question. I noticed that Country Thunder is on an agenda shortly. Is that right?
It's been passed.
Okay. Do we have any idea if the dollars the sheriff was going to look for from the...
He did ask.
He did ask.
Yes.
And...
We brought up the topic last
night. And is there funding?
And they don't know yet they're going to get back.
So when do you think they'll get back to us on that?
Probably.
Do you think they'll get back to us now that it's been passed? Or do you think...
They'll come before the board.
My point is this, Mr. Chairman, that you know we have to understand and be thinking bigger picture. So if, in fact, there's funding that we're hoping to get for anything, in this case it happens to be this mobile command unit, it all ties into the budget and what I think has been a willingness to approve requests without much discussion, much debate, or much pushback. You're not going to get it this year. But the mobile command unit's on its way. The committee just told Country Thunder they're good to go. Well, I would think that would be a detail you'd want to work out before the committee approved this year's event.
Will we have an answer on that before it comes before the board?
I don't think so. No, I'll get on it.
So a little bit off topic, and I won't belabor it, but
maybe they ought to recognize that.
They won't be using the unit this year.
I understand
next
that. We'll already have paid for it and cashed the sheriff's check by the time it comes around.
Out of his pocket.
So, look, what I'm asking for is a little bit of support in trying to keep our costs and our county budget in mind. I think it has to be, it really has to strongly come from this committee. And, you know, the budget's just around the corner. We begin this debate and this discussion about what our expenditures are going to be. And, you know, we'll have to answer for it when that time comes. So whatever we think we can do for the employees, that's fine. Somewhere along the line, we're going to have to rationalize the whole thing. And when we bring requests forward, I think you've got to have the backup and the support for it, and you've got to have the plan in place. Not let's approve it today, and then we'll get you the final numbers and the figures and understand what we're going to buy and what the program's going to do, and then we'll just go ahead and write the check. That's all got to be explained up front, and I bring it up because I sense that we may have some more of that coming up this year with some initiatives that are still sitting out there. You know, imagine if we'd I still say now, and even more so today than last year, when we looked at this budget. I don't know that we're any closer with the Joint Services software purchase than we were when we were all set to authorize how many hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars last year?
We're supposed to have some kind of report from the group, consulting group. That's what Mr. Gettinger told me.
I understand that. But, you know, we were all set to spend that money last year, you know, without that.
I don't think you were set to spend it. I think it was to be put in an account should we decide to spend it later. So, just to clarify. All right, any other discussion? You're done, Mark?
I'm done.
Dan?
Yeah, I want to piggyback on that. Supervisor Molinaro, with federal inmates, we'll get that on the judiciary law agenda if they go through that. But I want everybody here to understand that when you decide that you want to back down from that, and that's a revenue maker. You know, you can talk about $20,000 here and $20,000 there, but how much did
Jill's
making a raise in profit last year? I mean, I understand backing down from that, but you got to be well aware of when that money's gone, and if you do back away from it, tell the taxpayer that they're going to have to pitch in on that. Because that's really where it's going to come from. I mean, just be aware. I understand and appreciate that maybe this isn't the business that we need to be in. It's been extremely profitable for this county. And, you know, if these dollars, when it becomes non-profitable, we'll get all that together for you. I'm in total agreement with what you're saying. These things need to be presented. They need to know where things are going. And basically have an idea, you know, not just write the check. I understand. I appreciate that. But we also have to understand, you know, we're going to prospectus out there, and I don't know what that is, and I don't think anybody in here in this room knows what that is.
Right.
You know, but when, you know, we decide to get out of that business, let's decide that there's going to be a big hole. You think we have problems going 1.9% now? It's going to be a lot worse than it is now.
Anyone else?
I just have a couple of questions, because we're talking about the potential budget.
Right. The motion is on the floor to approve the resolution.
Last year we had elders come in after we had ground through the budget. Mm-hmm. I would respectfully request that they come in before we start grinding in the budget with the committees, because it was a little late. It was like the horses are out of the barn by that time. We learned a lot at that informational meeting that there might have been other decisions made on the budget line items based on his information. And the other thing is, I just was asking Dave, when are we going to get the audit? So we need to have an audit to kind of look at the next budget, too.
I mean, we usually bring the audit in Q3, although we have been able to, I actually have 2 days blocked off to work on it between now and Tuesday, too. So we'll be putting 40 hours to work.
Sometime in July?
Let's see, that would be the first month of Q3, and we usually bring it in the second or third month of Q3. But with our new auditor, we've been getting it completed sooner, so possibly July or August.
We could have ALS come in, but what would you want them to talk about specifically?
Same thing he did last time, only before we start the budget. He gave us an overall picture of all the debt and everything else we had. And
That was a point that was brought up.
It was and I asked you, because it was like a big cloud all of a sudden.
We could, I'm sure they're always happy to come in whenever the committee would like them to come in.
Would you like them to come in at the next meeting then?
That's too soon, I think.
We'll be here anyway.
That's too soon.
They will?
Yeah. September, October would be the ideal time.
So Mike will be here in July, because we're going to be setting the sale date on our debt. And when we do that, you also get an update of of our total debt. And you get an analysis of our debt service schedule. So when he comes in and sets the sale date, and we may be looking at a resolution to give us discretion on refunding our BABs, you know what I mean when I say that, because the Fed defaulted on their payment by 8%. I think that was one of the things you remember me talking about when you reported on the sequester. So the impact of the sequester, now it's not a lot of money, but it gives us the ability to refund the BABs. So we might also bring that resolution in, but unfortunately interest rates are rising, so it might not be worth it to refund those, but if it is, we'd like to be able to do that. But when he brings that in, he does bring that whole big picture in at that time. The difference between that earlier one you get and the one at budget time is the budget time one has the actual debt in it that you're adopting in the budget. So, you know, that's the difference. So the earlier one you get has everything in it except for that, because we can't bring that in yet at that time because we don't know what it is. The one you get in October budget hearing is the actual debt. That's the big difference. Other than that, you get the big picture at those times, and I'm sure the Allers would be happy to review that with the committee as they have in the past.
Yeah. To John's point, I do agree. It's important that we have that picture of what our long-term debt is in front of us as we talk about any of these issues. You know, I've heard many times over the years, that's bonded money. Like somehow we don't have to pay that back. Those schedules, while we have been aggressive with them, and I think are generally in pretty good shape, you know, our per capita debt right now is significant compared to many other counties, and we've seen that analysis. I believe it's part of his presentation every year. So we can't look at this resolution without the backup. You can't look at the backup without the bigger picture. You can't look at the bigger picture without the broader forecast.
And that's why.
And second week in July?
It'll be the coming finance committee meeting in July.
And what is the date of that?
I think it's 11, the 18th.
All right, well, why don't we, we can, he'll be here, we can begin the discussion, and
right.
If we need him more, we can certainly have him come back in September or October before the budget discussion. That's July what?
July 18th.
18th, okay.
And then the resolutions go to the board on the 23rd, and those usually have that full packet in it, all the schedules that supervisor would be able to talk about.
Just one final point, Terry.
You're right, it's July 11th.
July 11th?
I'm sorry.
July
11th.
I'll be gone, so whatever.
Just one final quick point.
Somebody else talk.
You know, I've never said I was wanted to get out of the business necessarily entirely of the federal inmates. It has been getting more and more cumbersome, and that's expressed to us certainly on a regular basis by the sheriff. What I've asked for, though, is if, in fact, we see ourselves weaning off of it or becoming more and more tenuous, that the sheriff, and I said this last year, it's unfortunate. It's his own fault. He ran for the office, right? He's got to look for a way to understand long-term how we're going to work our way out of it. You can't simply say it's the county board's issue. I'm willing to work with him as a member of the county board. But I think the driver needs to start in that office and understand if, in fact, the dynamics change within the detention and corrections organization within Kenosha County, what are you going to do as the head of that organization to help dial that in? How are you going to manage it?
And
if the numbers bear themselves out that we simply have to go to the taxpayer, well, that's fine, but it can't simply be the answer today. Well, you have to go to the taxpayer. That's what it was last year. I don't buy that. Sure, we'll have to go to them to likely a large extent, but I don't think that's just the solution today. I'm looking for a little bit more thought and foresight into that, maybe.
What is the average daily federal inmate number now? What is that census?
Through 5 months, we're averaging 210 a day.
210, and the budget calls for 200. So we're above.
We're making money.
Well,
but for home.
That's all you can do is the.
They're salted away.
I mean, you're not going to get an answer from the federal government 2 years from now. What are you planning on doing?
You're not.
You might not even get
us off.
You might not get much commitment for next year.
But we should know today, where are we at with having to comply with the latest rules and requirements?
I thought you did comply with. Is that Nancy back there or Chuck back there? Who's hiding back there? I thought the sheriff reported to us that we were all right with some of those regulations, but not the current regulations. But we were okay with the 10-year number.
We haven't
leave it there.
Incurred any additional expenses or construction costs or anything like that since the last discussion you followed last year?
Yeah, they could
They complied with the 2008, but not with the 2011.
Right. Presented?
Okay.
We're not pursuing that.
Well, it's for a certain subgroup of prisoners. You have your ICE prisoners, which the federal government at one time said they wanted to change the model to a quote-unquote more country club type like atmosphere because these were, in some senses, not commercially other prisoners, which you can understand. Then the federal government would conceivably back off of some of those standards and say, well, that was a little bit optimistic, we're going to do something different. So there has been a state of flux, and I don't think it's really been sorted out.
Mm-hmm. That's just the business you're in. It's still running 210 a month.
But we can't, as the county say, as you just said, we're not pursuing it. I get that. But when the federal government decides they want to pursue the 2011 standards, what is our strategy?
I think the strategy would be you'd have some dramatic layoffs. You'd be shutting down part of the detention center. You wouldn't be running to Chicago with vans. That would be your strategy.
Absolutely.
It would be a very dry. It's not that, there's nothing other to say than
cut
that.
Off 30%.
You're not going to keep guards working, that guarding people that already have guards. I think that's what you would do. I don't think it would be very dramatic. That's the way it is. Well, I mean, you wouldn't keep, sheriff indicated at one of our meetings, it would go all through the ranks. You might have deputies laid off. You might have guards. You would definitely have guards laid off. You might have a cook laid off. You'd shut down a section or two of the Kenosha County Detention Center. It'd be closed off. You'd be saving on heating and air conditioning over there.
To me, that's the way dramatic. That's what you'd have to do.
And that's what you'd have to do. That's the answer.
That's the answer. Because when you say we're going to lay off deputies, and everyone says you can't lay off deputies,
that's what the sheriff said.
So you hit it right on the head.
That's what the sheriff said.
I know that's what he said, and the reason he said it was for the dramatics of it. I don't want dramatics. I want a little.
That's what's going to have to be done.
I understand this is going to have to be done. You can talk about
the budget.
You can talk about
we've never cut $5.5 million from anybody.
You can talk about cutting corrections officers. There's none to cut out there. The way it sounds, they're working like crazy at the facility.
Yeah, I don't know that this discussion is really necessary.
Through the roof.
At least
for this month, right?
It's interesting, but you know, we still have 210 above what is budgeted for. This is like an emergency room. You don't know what is coming through the door and how many are going to come through the door. And that's the way it is. And you have to adjust to it. If there are changes made in the future, it will result in some dramatic changes if they drop below our budgeted number. What else can you say? I think they recognize that.
As long as we're off the subject of what we're talking.
Well,
the feds decided next week that they wanted to enforce those standards.
Yeah.
They could move those 200 prisoners in 2 weeks someplace else.
Surely that
just
means
like that.
Am I wrong? There's not a facility out there that's operating under 11 standards.
Where are the prisoners in this area besides Kenosha? They're in
Chicago.
They've been probably. My point is if they change the rules, this could happen overnight. Am I wrong?
Yeah, they don't even have all the 2011 standards written, so to speak, all the way through the federal government. So
there's some.
I don't know. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. The federal government is out of control, but that's besides the point. The point is, if they decided to do that, let's one at a time.
Otherwise, it sounds
like
I'll have to borrow the gavel here. All right.
Okay.
You know, I don't think we have to, you know, it's almost sounding a little panicky. It's 210. We're still 10 above budget.
Well,
if something happens, we'll have to deal with it. But I think everybody knows what that is, and I certainly think the sheriff recognizes it. I'm not going to be supporting funding part of the sheriff's department that is not housing prisoners.
Could we get some kind of an update? As you say, like there's 210. Just to say, All right, it's cost. They're paying us so much a day. What's it costing in manpower out there?
If you want, you know? We have done that before. Right.
Is there a lot of overtime? What's the overtime out there?
I don't think it's necessary to panic here.
I'm not panicking. I'm just.
That's what the discussion is.
You say one thing and then you don't look at the other side.
Well, I am looking at the other side. The other side is dramatic reductions.
Yeah.
But it's not here. Yes.
To the supervisor's question on the cost and the revenue, it's probably worth talking for about 30 seconds. In March, we brought the financial reports in. So we were talking about bringing an audit in, so you pretty much saw what the audit is going to tell you in March. And we have a new fund, the county board had the good idea of putting a new fund in for the jail. And so in 2012, we put that new fund in for the jail, and it shows the cost of the jail, it shows the personnel costs, it shows the revenue, and it shows the profit of over $1 million. So that is a new fund that will appear in the audit, and it'll address some of the questions that we talked about.
Okay.
I'm ready to vote.
Well, is there any other discussion on the budget resolution here? The advisory levy objective. Anybody? Al?
I just want to say I'll make that correction before.
Oh, okay.
And half a million dollars.
So the supporting documentation will be with the supervisor's packet.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make the correction to that redundancy of the half a million, and it'll show a $2 million that we'd have to cut $2 million to get the $1.49.
Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, thank you, and we'll circulate that. The audit of the bills, is that being circulated someplace?
Let's see.
Then we'll move into the reports. Dave, is there anything further?
Hal, did you want to say mention anything in our reports here?
Just that the county clerk's report was there for April. Monthly financials are there. Bills are there. And then we had some budget modifications on your desk.
That's it.
Those are the only three reports that the listener reports.
She's writing the notes.
Thank you to the clerk for the nice report.
I don't have to
keep it to the fire.
Budget modification monthly, there's nothing.
They're just routine reports you get. You can look at them.
But there's nothing you want to highlight.
No, not in the
room.
All right, then, did you want to have a closed session? Is that correct?
And we need to change the tape, so if we could just.
Well, give me a motion to go into closed session.
Make a motion to go into closed session.
And that's for the purpose of discussing a particular employee's early retirement, correct? Who made the motion and who seconded
it? I made the motion. John O'Day seconded the motion.
We need a roll call on the motion. John O'Day.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Phil.
Aye.
Aaron.
Yep.
Yes.
Aye.
And we're including county supervisors. And are you?
That's fine.
All right. Very good.